Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know that there are four quarterback and running back duos who each have at least three rushing touchdowns this season? Of course, there's Josh Allen and James Cook, Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones and Jonathan Taylor. Who's the fourth one? Guess you got to wait to the end of the show to find out. This is The Numbers Game. I'm Cynthia Freeland, and it's time to go through every game of the Week 6 NFL Sunday slate. The day starts again at Tottenham Hotspur. This is the 59th regular season international game in NFL history, the 41st in London. This edition is between the Broncos and Jets. Denver is favored by 7.5 points, and the total is 43.5 points. My model says Denver wins 26-18 and a total of 44, 26 plus 18. The Broncos took an overnight flight from Philadelphia to London after their win over the Eagles. Everyone always wants to know when they went over there, so here it is. They've been over there now for almost a week. Now, when Denver runs the ball, Dobbins' consistency is the key. He actually leads Denver with 402 rushing yards. That ranks fifth in the NFL, and his four rushing touchdowns are also very helpful. That is the most rushing yards by a Denver running back through five games since Travis Henry in 2007. J.K. Dobbins has 291 yards after contact, the seventh most in the league. 94 of those are over expected, which is fourth most. He's gained at least five more yards than expected, 12 times the most in the NFL. My point is he's very consistent and very helpful for them. Now, where specifically in this matchup? Outside rushing, that's his most efficient spot. He's gained 178 of those yards after contact and 60 of the yards over expected on rushes outside the tackles. Outside matters in this one because Quinnen Williams has stuffed 9 rushers for no gain or loss. That's the most in the NFL. Now, they're unlikely to run at Williams. He's on the inside. And as a team, the Jets, they have generated a league-high 31 run stuffs overall. However, Broncos rushers have been stuffed at the 8th lowest rate in the NFL. It's about 13%. Speaking of Quinnen Williams, when the Broncos pass the ball, well, first things first, they will need to keep Williams from bothering Bo Nix. This is a task that the interior of the Broncos offensive line does forecast to be up for, though, as they've allowed a league-low 3.6 pressure rate this season. And each of the interior linemen ranked top 5 at their position in pressure rate allowed, though Ben Powers is out this week with an injury. The Jets' D tackles have generated 17 total pressures. Quinnen Williams leads the charge with 8 of those pressures. And since the start of last season, he's generated the third most pressures in the NFL at that alignment with 43. So newsflash, Quinnen Williams is still good, even though the Jets' defense has some vulnerabilities. As for Bo's opportunities in the passing game, as in what he might face, let's start with the man blitz situation because the Jets defense uses it at the 5th highest rate. They've allowed 5 touchdowns. That's tied for 2nd most, but they only surrender 5.1 yards per attempt to it, which is 10th fewest. So when I'm looking at this, Bo has 2 touchdowns and no interceptions and a 54% success rate, which is 9th highest. He's also been pressured on a league-low 23% of dropbacks against man blitzes. What's another thing we might see? Cover 0. The Jets played at the 3rd highest rate in the league, and they've allowed 7 touchdowns to it. Beau has 3 touchdowns and 1 interception against Cover Zero so far this season. In the Jets' run game, Breece Hall has yet to find the end zone this season. However, he has gained at least 10 rushing yards over expected on 6 carries. That's tied for the most in the league. He's also tied for the most in total explosive runs with 14. Guess who he's tied with? J.K. Dobbins. I think that's very fun. But Hall's explosive run rate, so he's done it on fewer carries, is 21%, which paces the league. However, the Broncos defense, they've allowed the 7th lowest explosive run rate to running backs. And by the way, motion matters for Breece Hall. He has a 5.6 yard per carry average, 4th most, and 10 of those 14 explosive runs, along with 13 first downs and 104 yards before contact, versus just 37 yards before contact and only 4 explosive runs when the Jets don't use motion. It's worth noting in the run section here that quarterback Justin Fields has rushed for 141 yards on scrambles this season. That is 6th most. Overall, quarterbacks haven't really scrambled to run. It's actually a league low 3% of their dropbacks against the Broncos defense this season. They've seen it 6 times and allowed 17 yards, which is tied for the fewest in the league. As for Justin Fields' opportunity in the passing game, well, he'll probably hope that Denver sticks to their pattern of using man at the 2nd highest rate in the league. It's 45%. And Fields, he averages 7.3 yards per attempt and threw all 4 of his touchdown passes so far on just 20 passes against man coverage. However, last week against the Eagles, the Broncos played a lot more zone. They only used man on a 3rd of their dropbacks. Navigating the Broncos front will be the big test, as they have 21 sacks and the Jets have allowed 16, which is tied for 5th most. Denver has a 43% pressure rate without blitzing this season, which leads the NFL, and 14 of their 21 sacks have come when they are only rushing 4 or fewer, which is the most in the NFL. And Nick Benito, he leads the NFL with 7 sacks and 31 pressures. Zach Allen ranks 2nd on the team in quarterback hits. He is 53 since the beginning of last season, which is the most. Bottom line, this is how I get to Denver by 12. The Broncos O-line, plus the run game, plus their defense, that is how you get my conservative model to a double-digit win. The Jets are the only team to allow 25 or more points in each game so far this season, and they're the first team since at least 1950 with 0 takeaways through 5 games. Football for breakfast means a single window morning game, which also means we get stat snacks for this one. Let's do 3. Number 1, rookie tight end Mason Taylor to have more than 3 receptions. Garrett Wilson gets the Pat Surtain treatment. Surtain has allowed just 3 receptions, 34 yards, along with 1 interception and 2 passes defensed on 7 targets in coverage against Wilson in 3 career matchups. Who gets the opportunities then? Well, Mason Taylor. He actually ranks 2nd on the Jets with 20 receptions and 175 receiving yards. Number 2, Troy Franklin to have more than 38 yards. Franklin is 2nd on the Broncos with 21 receptions and 231 receiving yards. Same idea here. Cortland Sutton, who did actually make Quinyon Mitchell look pretty average, and Mitchell is not average, he will see Sauce Gardner, and he's allowed 2 receptions for 42 yards with 4 passes defensed on 7 targets in coverage with Sutton in his career. Now, Sauce is traveling with the ones more as well this season, so let's go Troy Franklin, more than 38 yards. And number 3, Bo Nix to have at least 2 passing touchdowns. He has 12 games with 2-plus passing touchdowns since week 5 of last season, and the Jets have allowed 2 or more passing touchdowns to 3 of their 5 opposing starting quarterbacks faced this season. Let's start our breakdown of the stateside games with the AFC North. This is the division with the most lopsided forecast games this week, and none are more lopsided than Cincinnati at Green Bay, where the Packers are 2 touchdown, 14-point home favorites, and the total in this one is 44.5 points. My model has Green Bay coming out on top, 31-18, that is 13 points and 49 total. We always start with the away team's offense, which this week will mean Joe Flacco starting, which means he will join Baker Mayfield in 2022 and Josh Dobbs in 2023 as the only quarterback to start for 3 or more different teams in a calendar year since 1950. Now, Flacco and Browning, they both rank in the bottom 3 in passer rating among the 33 qualified quarterbacks. It did shift my odds a tiny bit in favor of Cincinnati, but it wasn't a huge swing. The problem for any Bengals quarterback is that both tackles are allowing very high pressure rates. On the left, Orlando Brown, he's allowed an over 13% pressure rate, 10th highest. Right tackle Marius Mims, it's an 11% pressure rate. That's 12th highest at his position. And Micah Parsons, he lines up almost evenly on both sides of the formation. He leads the Packers with 26 pressures. That's tied for fourth most in the league. And he has 8 quarterback hits, and he has 2.5 sacks. Rashawn Gary, by the way, leads the Packers with 4.5 sacks. And Parsons, his 22.4 pressure percentage, it is second in the NFL behind only Nick Benito. Moving to the Packers' offensive side of things, well, 59% of the passing yards have come after the catch this season. That's the third highest rate in the league. They're averaging 7 yards after the catch per reception, second most. Tucker Kraft and Josh Jacobs, well, they lead the Packers in yards after the catch. They're combined for over 300 such yards. And fun fact, they're one of 6 tight end and running back pairs in the NFL with 300 plus combined yards after the catch this season. That's just fun. And Cincinnati, they have allowed 7.3 yards after the catch per reception. That is the most in the NFL. It follows that they're 878 total yards after the catch allowed, also most in the league. I do want to give some love to Trey Hendrickson, though, because 28% of Cincinnati's pressures and 40% of their team sacks all belong to him. Overall, the Bengals have the 4th lowest pressure rate, but if you look at the on versus off splits for Hendrickson, when he is on the field, Cincinnati allows 2 fewer yards per attempt and a 5.1 percentage point increase in pressure rate. Bottom line, how do I get to a 13-point win for Green Bay? Well, it's a balance of efficiency on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. On offense, they're converting almost 54% of their third down attempts. That's the best rate in the NFL. And on defense, they're top 5 in total yards per game allowed and rushing yards per game allowed. So both of those things combine for a strong forecast win. One player to watch for in this game, Josh Jacobs, who has greater than 60% odds. So in over 60% of my model simulations, he rushes for at least 78 yards. He has 258 rushing yards after contact this season, the 11th most at the position. 97% of his rushing yards have come after contact, which ranks second most in the NFL. He has even higher odds of scoring a touchdown than 60%, but I wanted to point out the 78 yards too. Joe Flacco is going to make history in that last one. Well, there's also some history for Matthew Stafford against the Ravens in this next game. As in, this is the second time since 1970 that the NFL's passing leader, here Stafford, and receiving yards leader, here Nacua, are on the same team and facing the NFL's worst scoring defense, here the Raiders. The only other instance since 1970 is in 2004. It was Mark Bulger and Isaac Bruce versus the Niners. Which brings us to the Rams heading to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. LA is favored by 7.5 points and the total in this one, 44.5. My model says 7 points in favor of the Rams, 27-20, meaning 47 total points. One strategy note here is a big advantage for the Rams using pre-snap motion. So they've done this at the 7th highest rate over 69% of the time. They've amassed 306 scrimmage yards from those players in motion, 7th most. Baltimore's defense has allowed the 2nd most scrimmage yards to players in pre-snap motion, 366 yards, and they've allowed 8.5 yards per motion touch. That ranks 7th most in the league. Now, on the other side, a strategy note is about 12 personnel. Well, the Ravens offense has used 12, so 1 running back, 2 tight ends, on over 55% of their designed runs as a team this season. That's the 2nd highest rate in the league. They've averaged 6.2 yards per carry on design runs out of 12 personnel. That is the 3rd most. And the Rams defense has only faced 12 design runs out of 12 personnel. They allowed 29 yards across those 12 carries. That's 2.4 yards per carry. So a league low 16.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
7 success rate, although it is a very small number, so this is one to watch. Bottom line in this one, I have a touchdown margin of victory for the Rams. Now, do I have all of the information about who's playing for the Ravens? Absolutely not. not. I think we're going to have to wait until 90 minutes before kickoff. However, one thing that I have seen consistency with is Baltimore's defensive strategy. That is to still play lots of man coverage, even with one zillion injuries. They've done it on over 37% of opponent dropbacks in each of the past 3 weeks. They did it 39% on the season as a whole. That's the sixth highest rate. They've allowed a league high 9 touchdowns with just one interception in man coverage after allowing 15 such touchdowns all of last season with 5 interceptions. Overall, 6 different Raven defenders have allowed at least 100 yards and a touchdown in coverage this season. That is also the most in the league. It only feels right to point out one of the deficiencies in the secondary for the Rams too, because we just kind of told you about the Ravens. So here we go. One thing to watch for in the Rams secondary is Emmanuel Forbes, or maybe which receiver draws his coverage. So Akilah Witherspoon, he got injured in week 2 against the Titans. Kobe Durant, Darius Williams, Emmanuel Forbes, they have rotated at wide cornerback over the past 3 weeks. Forbes has allowed 5 receptions for 146 yards and a touchdown on his 6 targets faced that are over 10 air yards and on third down this season. While all of the other Rams defenders combined have allowed the same number of receptions, so 5 of them, for just 87 yards with 0 touchdowns, and that's across 14 targets faced. So overall, those 157 yards faced in coverage on third down are the second most by any defender in the NFL. He could potentially be targeted in this one. One player to watch in this game, well, in honor of Matthew Stafford needing just 50 passing yards to pass the Hall of Famer Dan Marino for 9th most all time, he has greater than 60% odds for 2 passing touchdowns. Okay, I have him earning 50 yards. I actually have him earning at least 260 passing yards. That happens in 60% of simulations too. You can take your pick of which one you'd like to track, or perhaps track them both. Pittsburgh is the only team in the AFC North with a winning record entering week 6, and they host their division rival, the Cleveland Browns. The Steelers are favored by 5 points. The total is 38. My model says Pittsburgh wins by 7 points, 23-16. Now that would be 39 points. In his first NFL start in week 5, Dylan Gabriel averaged a time to throw of 2.54 seconds. Now, that would rank as second quickest if he were qualified. So among the qualified quarterbacks, that would be the second fastest. Dylan Gabriel was most effective on shorter throws. He went 16 of 22 for 129 and 2 touchdowns on attempts under 10 air yards. He connected on just 3 of 10 for 61 yards on intermediate throws, so 10 to 19 air yards, and he didn't even attempt a deep pass. Now, the Steelers defense, they've allowed almost 7 yards per attempt, 6.9, which is 5th most, and a 54% success rate, the 3rd highest on passes under 10 air yards this season. Speaking of quick passes, Aaron Rodgers stats, anyone? He's averaging the fastest time to throw at 2.52 seconds of any qualified quarterback. He's using a quick pass on 56% of his attempts, the highest rate in the league, and averaging 7.8 yards per quick pass. That is the 2nd most in the league. Well, how does Cleveland's defense fare against them? They've allowed the 4th most yards per quick pass this season at 7.2. However, they have an 18.6 quick pass quarterback pressure rate. That's 5th in the league. Overall, their 13 sacks without blitzing are the 2nd most in the NFL behind Denver. So they can do it with just 4. They can do it quickly. It is a tough defense to navigate. But if you do get the quick pass out, perhaps you will complete it for a first down because the yards per attempt are high. One more overall note about Pittsburgh's offense is that 75% of their passing yards have come after the catch. That is the highest rate in the NFL by over 13 percentage points. Bottom line, my model has a touchdown margin of victory for the Steelers. They're coming off of their bye. They're getting healthier on defense, and Aaron Rodgers is still elite between the ears at diagnosing defenses. We may not see him airing it out like we have, you know, those Hail Marys. Lions fans know nothing about that, but ultimately we may not be seeing that, but we're seeing the elite defense diagnostic tool still working at a high level. Now, one fun fact in this one is that TJ Watt with 111 sacks and Myles Garrett with 106.5 rank 1st and 2nd respectively in sacks since both entered the NFL in 2017. They are the only players with over 100 sacks in that span. No other player has more than 85. Now, the player to watch in this one, though, the stat to track is Dylan Gabriel to throw a passing touchdown. This is the over 60% stat to know. Throwing 2 would make Cleveland history because no Browns quarterback has ever had multiple passing touchdowns in each of their first 2 career starts. I like the potential ROI on that. But again, over 60% for 1 passing touchdown. Should the Steelers win and both the Ravens and Bengals lose, then Pittsburgh would be up 2 games in the division. So here's where we talk about the future for a second. Right now, the Ravens are no longer favored to win the division, and my math puts the likelihood of the AFC North to contribute two teams to the playoffs at under 20%, which means you could consider the Ravens to win the division or get to the playoffs as a stat that's potentially on sale. The discount could become even bigger after this week should the Ravens get bested by the Rams. But given that the Ravens' remaining schedule includes 5 of 6 divisional games, and they still have meetings with the Bears, Dolphins, Jets, and even Vikings, to me, this is not a sell. This is like a hold, if not a full buy, if you pick up what I'm putting down. Let's continue the theme of one-win teams for this next grouping of games. 2 1-1 teams collide in Las Vegas when the Titans come to town. The Raiders are 4.5-point home favorites. The total is 41.5. I have the Raiders winning 24-19, which means my total is 43 points. For Tennessee's offense, well, they're averaging under 15 points per game and under 234 yards per game. Those both rank 31st in the NFL. The Titans have held a lead for just 20 minutes and 48 seconds combined this season. That's the lowest or least in the NFL. Cam Ward has 2 passing touchdowns, tied for the fewest. He has a 30.8 completion percentage on downfield throws. That's the lowest. His 46.6 passer rating on those throws, second lowest, and dropback success rate, also second lowest. Look, these are tricky things, but it is not all his fault. Between being sacked 19 times, that's 2 more than anyone else. His receivers, including tight ends and running backs, they have negative off-ball metrics. They're not really helping him out. There's not a lot of separation. So perhaps we'll see him go from it looked like this, and then it went all the way to this. That's what I'm hoping for, because there are some of those indicators there in certain throws. But the overall picture is tough. However, the Raiders do pressure at the 6th lowest rate, just 28%. So perhaps things could be a little bit rosier in this one. Moving over to the Raiders' offensive side of things. Well, when he's been blitzed this season, Geno Smith is averaging 8.9 yards per attempt. That is the 10th highest mark in the league. And all of his league-high 9 interceptions have come when teams have not blitzed him, so when defenses have rushed 4 or fewer against him. Do the Titans blitz? Not really. 3rd lowest rate, they've blitzed on just 17% of their dropbacks. I want to point out someone who could be a huge problem maker for Geno Smith. That's Jeffrey Simmons, who leads defensive tackles with 20 total pressures and 13 quick pressures. He has 4 more than any other D tackle. The Raiders have allowed the 2nd highest interior pressure rate this season. It's at over 10%. And the lone bright spot has been their center, Jordan Meredith. He's allowed a pressure rate of sub 5% on dropbacks this season. Bottom line, I have a 5-point win for the Raiders. Why? Because of their rushing advantage. The Raiders have a 53% success rate on outside rushes this season. That is the 2nd highest in the league. They have a positive EPA of 0.19, EPA per outside rush, 0.19. That's 3rd most. And they have the highest forced missed tackle rate on outside rushes at 48%. How does Tennessee fare against this? Well, they've allowed the 8th most EPA per outside rush and the 10th most rushing yards over expected per outside rush by running backs this season. Which means the one to watch here is Ashton Jeanty, who I like to have more than 70 yards rushing and reach pay dirt in this one. Both separately are stats that occur in over 60% of my simulations. Ashton Jeanty has more than 100 scrimmage yards in 2 straight games now, after having fewer than 70 in each of his first 3 games. He has 29 forced missed tackles. That ranks 2nd best. He has 292 rushing yards after contact. That's 6th best. And he has 12 runs of at least 10 yards. That ranks 3rd in the NFL. Just like the Titans, the New Orleans Saints earned their first win of the season against the Giants in a crazy turnover game last week. The Patriots come to town this week as 3.5-point favorites in a game where 46 points is forecast. I have New England winning this one 24-20, which means 44 total points. Drake May leads the NFL with a 78.6 completion percentage and a 126.7 passer rating on 3rd and 4th down this season. He's been sacked 17 times overall. That's 2nd most in the league. And he's averaged 8.4 yards per attempt when he's faced 4 or fewer pass rushers. That's 2nd most in the league. It also is a 1.2 yard per attempt increase from his results last season. The Saints defense has generated a 25% pressure rate this season, 2nd lowest in the league. They have been blitzing a lot, the 10th highest rate, over 32% of the time. But when they blitz, they only have a 28% pressure rate, which is 3rd lowest in the league. Now, one interesting note about Drake May is that all 7 of his touchdowns have come from a clean pocket, which is kind of interesting and maybe something other teams could use to exploit. Spencer Rattler has the most games without a turnover among starting quarterbacks this season with 4. He's faced 44 quick pressures, so those are the ones happening in under 2.5 seconds, which is also the most in the NFL. And he's been a victim of some drops. 12 passes have been dropped by his intended receivers, which is the most in the league. Bottom line, I have the Patriots by 4 in large part because of their run defense and the troubles New Orleans has had running the ball. New England has allowed negative 73 rushing yards over expected to designed runs. That's second fewest in the league. And despite contacting opposing rushers on only 43% of their designed carries, which is a little below the league average of 44%, they've limited ball carries to just 2.5 yards after contact per carry. That's third fewest in the league. New Orleans has negative 62 rushing yards over expected on design runs, third lowest. You want that number to be positive if you're the offense and negative if you're the defense. And they're averaging just 3.9 yards per carry on such runs. That's the 11th lowest rate in the league. The one to watch here, I'm going with Chris Olave to be held under 58 receiving yards. I don't like saying less than for almost anything, but this is why. Olave has averaged 8.4 air yards per target this season. That is a career low by 2.5 yards. 13% of his targets have been behind the line of scrimmage. That's a career high by almost 4%. The Patriots defense is getting healthier on the back end too. Christian Gonzalez, we see you. The one-win Dolphins host the three-win Chargers, who are now missing or potentially missing key players on both sides of the ball. Here's a non-complete list. Rashawn Slater, Joe Alt, Marion Hampton, maybe Mekhi Becton, maybe Trey Pipkins, Khalil Mack, Denzel Perryman, you get what I'm saying. Now, the Chargers are still favored in Miami by 4 points. The total here is 43.5. I have a 3-point win for Los Angeles, 24-21, which means 43 points. The Chargers running backs have faced a light box on 41% of their attempts this season. That's
want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
The 13th highest rate in the league. They have earned a 0.22 EPA per rush against them. That's the most in the NFL, and plus 1.9 rushing yards over expected against light boxes this season. That's fourth most. And Miami has allowed the third most rushing yards over expected per rush to running backs, 1.4, and 10 or more rushing yards on 17% of attempts with light boxes, the second highest rate in the league. Do you get it? The run game could work. Now, who's the back that's going to do it? Is it Kamani Vidal? He is listed as the number one on the depth chart, but does Hassan Haskins take over? Now, here's where you have to do some like inception into Jim Harbaugh's mind. But on the other side, we know it's going to be Devon Achane. He's one of four players with just 250 rushing yards and 150 receiving yards this season. He's the fourth player since 1970 with 12 or more rushing touchdowns and 12 or more receiving touchdowns in his first three seasons. The Dolphins have run to the left on a league-high 62% of rushing attempts this season. This tendency has correlated with cleaner lanes for Devon Achane. He's been contacted behind the line of scrimmage on 30% of his carries to the left compared to 56.5, so 57% when running to the right. He has more explosive runs to the left too, 14% versus 9%. Bottom line, I have the Chargers winning by 3, but I want to talk about how the Fins forecast to keep it closer than the 4-point line. Pressuring Justin Herbert, who already has more interceptions this season with 4 than he had all of last season where he only had 3. He's been pressured 85 times. That's the most in the NFL. Last week, he got sacked 4 times. It was a tough day for him at the office. The pressure to sack ratio was very high. And the difference between when he's pressured versus not is stark. With pressure, 43 completion percentage, 2 passing touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 49 passer rating. No pressure, 78% completion, 6 passing touchdowns, 1 interception, 113.7 passer rating. Now let's look at Joe Alt, 69.6 passer rating with Alt off the field. When he's on the field, 103.7. So it's very stark and different when he's under pressure. So the one to watch here, let's just keep it super simple, and that's a Devon Achane touchdown. Don't overthink it. Just keep it real simple here. I got a request to bring back the confidence rankings. So here you go. If you somehow are able to use Green Bay or Denver, they're at the top of the heap. So if you're in Survivor and you're looking for someone, those are the two most likely. But if you've already exhausted those two or you want to save them for later, New England is a great option this week. Let's move away from the one-win teams to the two-win teams. In fact, a matchup between two-win teams. This is another potential Survivor option per my model, but it is a road team that is favored, and you need to be a little gutty to make this happen because the team they're facing has won both of their home matchups so far. Yes, it is Dallas at Carolina, where the Cowboys are favored by 3.5 points. The total is 49.5. I have Dallas winning by 28-24, which means 52 total points. Now, if you can stomach the last ranked total defense, you also get the upside of the first ranked total offense. Fun fact, the Cowboys are the sixth team to lead the NFL in total offense and rank last in total defense through the first five games of a season. And by the way, four of the previous five made the playoffs. Dallas's offense has the fourth highest inside rush rate this season, 57%, and the fourth most rushing yards over expected per inside rush, along with the ninth highest success rate on such rushes. It's 49%. And Carolina has been vulnerable to these inside rushes, allowing the second most rushing yards over expected per carry at +2. Bryce Young's passer rating on downfield passes is fourth lowest in the league at 48.6. But the good news is that Dallas's defense has allowed opponents to convert 55% of their third downs, that ranks last in the NFL. The not so good news for Bryce Young is that Dallas has played zone on 89% of their dropbacks this season. That's the highest rate in the NFL. Why does this matter? Well, he has zero passing touchdowns and four interceptions against zone coverage and seven touchdowns with no interceptions when teams have given him man. Bottom line, I have the Cowboys by 4, even though the Panthers are 2-0 at home. Well, Dak Prescott has the second most passing yards this season at 1,356. He has a 71.3 completion percentage, which would be the highest in NFL history by a player who also led the league in passing attempts. And he's kind of a miracle worker because last week, 4/5 of his offensive line was different. So he's doing it under really adverse circumstances. Well, Carolina's defense, they're just averaging one sack per game, which is the fewest in the NFL. They have just 5 total sacks and they have 11 total quarterback hits. So it's a better circumstance for him this week. The one to watch here, my model forecast Bryce Young to pass for fewer than 215 yards. I'm not saying he's going to play poorly. Just hear me out here. Number one, he's only eclipsed this number once this season. He's averaging the third fewest passing yards per attempt at 5.5. Yes, it's fair to say that Dallas has allowed the most passing yards per attempt at 7.9, but this one's about strategy and the run game. It's about Rico Dowdle, who's coming off a 23-rush, 206-yard game with a touchdown against the Dolphins last week. Dallas's defense has allowed the most rushing first downs this season at 44 and the fifth most 15-plus yard rushes at 21. It is logical that the Panthers will try to control the ball more to keep it out of Dak Prescott and the offense's hands. So it's not about Bryce Young playing poorly. It's about strategy dictating to slow the pace down. The two-win Cardinals, after losing one of the stranger games last week to the Titans, now head to Indianapolis to face the back-on-track Colts, who are 4-1 after a big win over the Raiders. The Colts are favored by 6.5 points, and the total in this one, 47.5. My model says Indianapolis wins 28-20, which is 48 total points. Arizona is the first team since the 1970 merger to lose on a walk-off field goal as time expires, not once, not twice, but in three consecutive games. They've lost three in a row now after starting 2-0. Vibes are not great. Kyler Murray has just an 87.4 passer rating when targeting Marvin Harrison Jr. since the beginning of last season. That is the lowest among all active quarterback receiver duos over that time frame. And on the other side, Daniel Jones has the fourth highest dropback success rate against no blitz this season. It's 55%. He's also averaging the sixth most yards per pass when no blitzes are coming his way at 8. And Arizona, their 21% blitz rate is sixth lowest this season, and they've allowed the ninth highest EPA per dropback without blitzing. Now, Daniel Jones also has a cool stat here where he actually has a higher passer rating when pressured, 106.3, than when not pressured at 104. And he has the second highest passer rating under pressure behind only Matthew Stafford this season. So, I mean, the blitz is an interesting note here, but Daniel Jones is also performing well under pressure. Bottom line, I have an 8-point win for Indianapolis in large part due to your rushing leader in the NFL. That's Jonathan Taylor. Who has 480 rushing yards, 6 rushing touchdowns, add one more, so 7 total scrimmage touchdowns. And he also leads the NFL in rushing yards after contact, rushing yards after forcing missed tackles, and forced missed tackles on run plays. In Arizona, their 24% missed tackle rate on run plays ranks 23rd. It's weekly wildcard time, our list of 5 forecast touchdown scores that could be considered underrated, but not to us. They aren't guys you drafted in the top rounds of your fantasy draft. They aren't among the top few touchdown scores on the season. These are guys who have elevated end zone reaching odds this particular week. Number 1, Rico Dowdle against the Cowboys. I am not chasing points from last week. I like revenge, like as a concept for football, etc., but I'm not necessarily caring about it here. It's mostly just what we talked about with the Cowboys run defense. They've given up top rates in rushing first downs, explosive runs, and the Panthers will want to control the ball. So I am adding a touchdown to Rico Dowdle's to-do list this weekend. Number 2, Browns standout rookie running back Quinshon Judkins against the Steelers. Judkins has 95 or more scrimmage yards in each of his last 3 games. Pittsburgh is getting healthier on defense, but just running behind Conklin or Betonio, help Dylan Gabriel out. That feels like a very strong strategy Judkins has performed, so I think he reaches pay dirt in this one. Number 3, Packers tight end Tucker Kraft against the Bengals. Jordan Love has a 146.9 passer rating when targeting Kraft. That's 3rd highest among all quarterback and receiver duos. And he also has 16 receptions and 225 receiving yards. This would be his 3rd touchdown on the season. Number 4, Xavier Leggett. What, Cynthia? 2 Panthers against the Cowboys? Okay, the Cowboys defense is vulnerable, but this is 2 Panthers touchdowns here. This is crazy. So, Tutteroa McMillan will command a lot of attention, which leaves the recently returned Leggett to operate in more space, thus elevating his end zone reaching odds. And number 5, okay, in your fantasy draft, you may have drafted him high, but he has not performed to his draft level yet. It's Brian Thomas Jr. I actually drafted him in fantasy football, and it has been a problem, like milk carton problem status. So this week against the Seahawks, I have him in the range for the weekly wildcard, which is 40% or more. He's got indicators that his slump is over, so I'm putting it here this week. Which brings us to our final 3 games of Sunday, the probable best matchups of the entire day. Let's start in Duval. Okay, I'm going to stop doing the Liam Coombe impression, although it is never not funny to me. Seattle comes to town. The Jags are the host. Jacksonville is a 1-point favorite, and the total is 46.5. My model has a 1-point win and 47 total points. Seattle 24, Jags 23. Starting with the Seahawks, Sam Darnold on downfield passes has 700 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 1 interception. He has a 143.8 passer rating, a 71.1 completion percentage, which are both the highest marks in the league on such throws. However, this is strength v strength because the Jags defense has a 46.2 passer rating allowed. That's the lowest in the league. And their 41.2 completion percentage is 6th lowest. These are on downfield passes, so deep shots. It's going to be a fun one. Let's go with more strength on strength in this one. The Jags offense has allowed a pressure rate of under 24% on their dropbacks this season. That's 3rd lowest in the league. But the Seahawks defense, they've generated a pressure rate of 38%. That's 8th highest. And they have 6 players with double-digit pressures this season. That's 2 more than any other defensive unit in the league. Bottom line, I have such a close matchup forecast in this one. Seahawks win by just 1 point. Right now, they lead the league with the most road win games in a row with 8. Now this would mean they would get to 9. Why? Well, it's because they can get pressure with 4. Seattle has the lowest blitz rate in the NFL at 16%, and the 11th highest pressure rate without blitzing. It's 35%. Seattle also has 6 interceptions when they don't blitz. That's tied for 2nd most. Trevor Lawrence has 4 interceptions when he has not been blitzed this season. That's tied for the 3rd most. He also has the 4th lowest completion percentage over expected when teams haven't rushed the extra defender, and the 10th fewest EPA per dropback. The one to watch in this matchup? Well, I already gave you BTJ to score a touchdown, but let's talk about JSN. Let's keep the initial situation going. Jaxon Smith-Njigba to have more than 75 receiving yards. Overall in the season, he has 534. That's second in the league behind just Puka Nacua. And he leads the NFL with 17 receptions and 419 receiving yards on downfield targets. I think this is going to be a great matchup for him. It's going to be a tough one for them to stop, even though this defense does lead the league in turnovers. I still think Jaxon Smith-Njigba will get at least 75 yards. Moving on to a game between two division leaders with injuries to navigate. The Niners head to Tampa to take on the Bucks. The home team is favored by 3 points. The total is 47.5. My model has Tampa Bay coming out on top by 2 points, 26-24, making my total 50. Since right now, at the time of this recording, it's a little unclear who the starting quarterback for the Niners is. Likely Mac Jones would be my guess as of right now. Whatever, we know that the Buccaneers have the highest pressure rate in the league from a defensive standpoint at 46%. So let's look at both of them. Mac Jones has been pressured on 27% of his dropbacks, the fifth lowest rate. Brock Purdy faced pressure on 46% of his. That's the second highest rate. When under pressure, Jones has excelled. 102.7 passer rating, third highest, a 63% completion percentage, 41% success rate. Both of those are fifth highest. And this is going to be an important factor because we know the Bucs are not going to let up in this one, especially considering the run game could be a source of concern for the Niners. They're still running to the outside at the third highest rate in the league, 63%. However, this season, they're averaging the sixth fewest rushing yards over expected to outside runs. And as far as explosive runs are concerned, so 10 plus yarders, they're ranking third lowest at 5.3% of their outside rushes turning into 10 plus yard gains for them. And the Bucs, they have allowed the second fewest rushing yards over expected to those outside runs and the fewest EPA per outside rush. So it's probably not a great idea to run to the outside because it is both not working well for the Niners, and it is something that the Bucs are very good at. Looking at the Bucs offense, the stats on their face look like a strength on weakness in favor of Baker Mayfield, but potentially this is a strength on strength in disguise. I'll let you be the deciding factor here, but here are the numbers. So Baker Mayfield has a 10-1 passing touchdown to interception ratio, the second best in the league. He's the only quarterback with eight or more passing touchdowns and fewer than two interceptions. And San Francisco's defense has allowed 8 touchdowns with no picks. So right now, fully tracking as strength in favor of the Bucs. Now, the Bucs offense, though, they have 722 yards after the catch, the most in the NFL, and over half of their total passing yards, 56%, have come after the catch, the fifth highest rate in the league. The Niners have allowed a total of 451 yards after the catch. That's tied for fifth fewest, and their 3.9 yard after the catch allowed per reception ranks second lowest among all defenses. Interesting. Bottom line in this one, I have a 2-point closer than expected win for the Bucs. Now, a lot of this has to do with injuries and being a little uncertain about who's playing. But one thing that I do know is that their defensive front, as in San Francisco's defense, has only 6 sacks as a team this season. They have 13 hits. That's second fewest behind just Carolina. And their 20% pressure rate since week 4 is the lowest in the league. And Baker Mayfield, when he's sacked one time or fewer, the man is 8-2. 115.7 passer rating, a 73% completion rate. You get it. He's very good when he's not under pressure, especially considering the situation where a lot of moving pieces, no Mike Evans, no Bucky Irving, a lot of different things going on. So in my opinion, in this one, it is a closer than expected, a fun game to watch, but the Bucs come out on top. And the one to watch here, of course, it's Emeka Egbuka, who becomes just the second Tampa Bay rookie to have 100 or more receiving yards in back-to-back games. The other was Mike Evans, and he's the third player in the Super Bowl era to have over 425 receiving yards and 5 or more receiving touchdowns in his first 5 career games played. The other two, they won AP Oroy, just so we're clear, and 42% of his grabs have come in tight windows. He leads the NFL with 17.8 yards per reception in 2025, and all 5 of his receiving touchdowns have been for more than 15 yards. Oh, did you hear what I said about the Oroy note? That's something that is very interesting. But to be clear, the thing to watch for him is a trip to the end zone. And last but not least, the Sunday nighter, the grand finale of the day, the Detroit Lions, they go to Arrowhead to take on the Chiefs. Kansas City, they're favored by 2.5 points. The total is 52 points. And my model picks Kansas City to win 25 to 24. So just 49 points in that one, which seems like a very low number, but that is what the model says. When the Lions run the ball, they rely on their O-line. The Lions rushers have gained a league-high 233 yards before contact this season on designed runs. And Jahmyr Gibbs, he's gained the fourth most such yards. David Montgomery, he ranks 10th in that metric. The Chiefs' run defense has allowed tied for the 10th lowest yards before contact per carry. And the Lions' offense is one of just eight teams that have yet to use a jumbo formation, which is six or more offensive linemen. This is something that's very different from last season. They did this the sixth highest rate. It was like 6% of the time. But I did a little scouting for you. And Dan Skipper, he just got elevated from the practice squad. So maybe we see the return of jumbo. Anyways, when Detroit looks to pass the ball, Jared Goff connecting with Amon-Ra St. Brown in man coverage and finding the right in-breakers looks like some areas where Goff could be comfortable. Now, Goff has 277 yards and six touchdowns against man coverage. That's tied for the third most touchdowns. He has a 133.7 passer rating and 73% completion percentage against man. Those are both fourth highest in the league. Amon-Ra St. Brown, that has been his primary target in this situation. He caught five of those six touchdowns, and St. Brown has caught all 12 of his targets against man coverage for 112 yards. And those five touchdowns, they actually lead the NFL. The problem is that the Chiefs are playing zone at the highest clip, 72%, since Spags has taken over. No problem. So maybe just, you know, one quarter of the time they'll get a man look. When targeting in-breakers this season, Goff has 567 yards and four touchdowns and one interception. He has a 77% completion rate on such attempts, that's third highest, and is 567 yards, their fourth most. As for the Chiefs' pass defense, well, they have the 10th highest pressure rate at 37%. Chris Jones specifically has the fastest get-off speed in the NFL. It's 0.81 seconds. Their pressure rate is 39% when they don't blitz. They're also moving Charles Omenihu around to the outside more, and it's been working to generate pressure. But George Karloftis and Chris Jones, they lead with 27 and 14 pressures, respectively. When the Chiefs run the ball, they'll look to exploit Detroit, allowing tied for the most yards before contact per carry at 2.2. Now, Chiefs running backs have been contacted behind the line of scrimmage on just 39% of their carries so far this season. That's tied for the lowest rate, but they've only gained 68 yards before contact, which is the 11th fewest, and they produced just a 7.8 explosive run rate. That's 7th lowest. So the Chiefs will look to change that in this matchup. Kansas City's rushing leader, Patrick Mahomes, has scrambled to run on 11% of his dropbacks this season. That is the highest rate of his career by 3.2 percentage points. He has 185 rushing yards, the second most in the NFL to only Josh Allen. So those are scrambling rushing yards, of course. He's also earned 13 first downs, which is the most, and his league-leading 9 explosive rushes on scrambles accounts for 50% of all of the Chiefs' explosive runs this season. Detroit linebacker Jack Campbell has a 26% tackle rate this season, the third highest among all linebackers, and he also ranks 6th in run stop rate at 16%. The Lions defense is now without both DJ Reed and Terrion Arnold, their starters at the quarterback position from week one, and the defense has still played man on 42% of their opponent dropbacks this season, the fourth highest rate in the league. They do it on third down over 68% of the time. Do you get where I'm going here? Now, Patrick Mahomes has struggled against man coverage this season, completing a career low 52% and averaging just 5 yards per attempt, also the fewest in his career. But will the trend be the same with the Lions' depleted corner room? That's a big question. The Lions' defense has generated the fourth highest pressure rate in the league this season, 42%, but their 2.9 second average time to pressure ranks fourth longest. Aiden Hutchinson has aligned on the left and right almost evenly, and he and Al-Qadeen Muhammad, he has 19 pressures, and Hutchinson has 30. They've combined for 49 total pressures, which accounts for 48% of the Lions' total pressures this season. Bottom line, that one-point win for Kansas City is partly due to the Lions' corner injuries and partly due to a Lions deep passing trend, where they have a negative 0.05 EPA per deep pass this season, 8th fewest in the league, a negative 12% completion percentage over expected, 5th lowest, and Kansas City has forced 2 interceptions on deep passes this season. That's tied for the 2nd most, and they've allowed negative 0.44 EPA per deep pass this season. That's 3rd fewest in the league. Let's do a good for 6 only on this Sunday Nighter because it's a great one. As always, they're in order of least to most risky. Number 1, Patrick Mahomes to have at least 2 passing touchdowns. The Lions corner situation is tough, and Mahomes is as good as they come at targeting the matchup he wants. Number two, Jared Goff to throw for at least two touchdowns. Both Goff and Mahomes average over 330 passing yards per game, have a 100-plus passer rating in their two head-to-head matchups. Okay, that's fun to know. It's two matchups. It's a tiny sample size. It's not even with the same teams. One was with the Rams, but it doesn't even matter. My point is both will have two passing touchdowns in this particular game. Number three, Xavier Worthy to have more than 65 scrimmage yards. The Lions do have the best, as in lowest, missed tackle rate on the season at under 7%. So factor that into your other player totals, but X is the X factor. Number four, both teams to earn points in the first quarter. The Lions have allowed points in all opening drives except for one, and that was against the Bengals. Number five, this one's riskier. David Montgomery to score a touchdown. Dan Skipper has been elevated, so maybe we see that jumbo. I'm really hoping for it. Either way, Montgomery end zone. And number six, a Tyquan Thornton touchdown. This one's risky. It's 6 out of 6. Overall, Xavier Worthy has the highest touchdown odds in terms of a receiving touchdown forecast in my model, but I wanted to find a 6 for 6 here. Who's going to be the person that could catch those passes Patrick Mahomes specifically targets at the missing corners of the Lions? My model says Tyquan Thornton. Did you think I forgot about trivia? Never. I would never do that to you. So the fourth of our four league-wide quarterback running back duos who each have three or more rushing touchdowns this season. So we already have Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley. We have Josh Allen and James Cook. We have Daniel Jones and Jonathan Taylor. Who's the fourth one? It's Patrick Mahomes and Kareem Hunt. And that's it. That is our Sunday slate. Check back here for the Monday night doubleheader episode. It's going to be up shortly. Don't you worry. Thank you so much, as always, for coming to hang out. I really appreciate it. I hope you noticed some of the comments were incorporated into the show. Please keep those coming. It is our shows. I want to be on the lookout for anything that you see. I will go scout it out for you. I am here for you. This is our show. It should be better every single time. And most importantly, enjoy the football.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.